Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hank, happy Cinco de Mayo. We have Nick Lecky on the phone now. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
What up? Nate, name the movie.
Go.
The Big Lebowski.
Yes! Yes! What scene?
Scene.
Damn it, Nick! I feel like that was a hell of an accomplishment for me.
He's making you better.
You know? Hey.
He's making you better.
I love this movie.
It's
I've seen it,
scenes.
I don't know how many times.
It's one of the best things.
He just found out who directed the movie last week.
Now, that's what condition was in, was the bowling ball scene, right?
No.
Oh, well, that was the acid trip.
Oh, yeah.
That's when he's doing drugs.
That's every kid. Yeah. He got knocked
at
out.
At the bowling alley.
Oh, at the bowling alley. Is this when the the guy's like waxing his bowling ball?
Yes. The Jesus man.
Yeah.
Jesus. I see you rolling away to the semis, man. You flash your piece out on the lane. I will rip it from you. Turn it sideways. Stick it straight up your and pull the trigger till the gun goes click. Jesus Christ, man. You said it.
That's right, man. Nobody put the Jesus. That's right. God, I must have seen that movie on DVD. I think I wore out lines on that DVD. We watched it so much in college. I mean, just so much. What a great flick. Yeah. What a great flick. That's my favorite. That's my only version of Hotel California I'll accept, by the way, because the Eagles one is just, oh, gosh. I've heard it a billion times, and I'm like, just stop it forever and play that one. Yep.
Jake Tiersberg, WZ, he had lines on the DVD like, hey, easy. That's not what he's talking about.
Easy. You're like, what?
Settle
what?
Down there.
What?
No. Are you going to eat anything special for Cinco de Mayo?
I might. I'm on the road right now. I'm at a truck stop in west of Topeka. So,
what are you doing?
Just scoping the scene, you know,
right.
Trying to get some Takis and some corn nuts. My usual road trip into
Top City.
Sugar-free Red Bull.
And so what's your, so everyone knows, like my mom was Mexican. My grandparents on her side were from Mexico. Jake, of course, is a proud Mexican-American. What is your heritage, Nick Lecky, for people that don't know?
So I'm Mexican. I'm half Mexican. My dad was Canadian. And so my sister and I joke that we are products of NAFTA,
right?
The now defunct trade pact, just renamed. So I mean, I on my mom's side, I grew up like I have Tias and Tios. Like I have a Tio Angel, I had a Tia Carmen, Tia Emma, you know. And I got cousins, and we get together. We used to get together like Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas, all that stuff, and it was just food and drinking. You know, like, and my wife was kind of grew up Italian, and it's kind of like the same concept, right? So it's interesting. Oh, and Catholic, right? So it's like Mexican and Italian. It's kind of like similar. It's like, you know, it's all this variation of, you know, how do you like your protein delivered type concept. So I am Mexican-American.
So do you think we become such good friends because together we make one full Mexican?
I think so. Our Wonder Twin powers activate,
right.
And that's what it becomes. Yeah. Full on. Yes.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
So we talked to Matt Derrick. You're part of this. You got a new gig, don't you?
Man, Kansas KC Sports Network. Yeah. I mean, BJ put together a hell of a crew. You know, it's really cool.
What will you be doing?
I'll be co-hosting Outside the Trenches with BJ. And then we talked about some other stuff doing, some other things to do. We might be doing the Facebook Live because of NFL films. It's tough to get on video. Like, you can't copy that. So, like, we can get into some, like, nerdy, geeky, like, film room study and kind of, like, just thoughts and everything like that. So there's some stuff in the works for me to expand, but It's mostly just outside the trenches for right now.
Jake decided that we're going to do a Border Patrol OnlyFans page. So, you want anything to do with that? You want to be involved?
I'm about it. Absolutely.
All right. See, there you go.
Hey, the answer is always yes.
Right.
That's what you just say yes, right? Okay. Just say yes.
Just say yes.
Yes.
Just say yes.
And we will take care of our subscribers.
I can't do Monday. Yeah, huh? I can't do Monday. The Joe McGuff.
Oh, you're not going to be there on Monday?
Oh, I have to work, unfortunately.
You'll be missed.
What a bummer.
It's all right. Steve Buchady will be there, and he'll be shouting at people and arguing about things.
You will be missed, Nick Leckie. You're missed right now. Wish you were here with us.
That's true.
I know. I do too.
Okay,
I
so
do, I really do.
Nate, go ahead.
No, you go. You proceed, please.
This is a topic we discussed with Matt Derrick, and you're an even better person to talk about with this because I've been told you were an offensive lineman in the NFL. Is that correct?
That was correct. Right. That was the I'm like a symbol now, right? Like Prince, the artist formerly known.
So Broncos offensive tackle Juwan James is expected to miss the entire 2021 NFL season after suffering a torn Achilles yesterday. He experienced the injury while working out on his own. And so the reason this has been such a big talking point is because he was not at the voluntary team workouts that many players are choosing not to attend this offseason, means the Broncos are not obligated to pay his $10 million salary for 2021. Patrick Mahomes retweeted and said, what, are they just not going to give him a salary now? Tyreek Hill retweeted and said, what, are we not supposed to work out on our own now? But Mitchell Schwartz kind of took the other side of it and was saying, well, I hope those days at home make him feel better after losing $10 million or possibly losing $10 million. And he said, look, he feels bad for him, but everyone knows what the deal is. And if you stay away and you're working on your own, you're not at the team workouts, then you're subject to have this happen if you get hurt. And so as a man that played in the NFL and listening to both sides of the story from players and the argument back and forth and blaming the PA and everything else and people are waiting to see how the Denver Broncos handle this, what is your reaction to this story?
So the team has the option not to pay. Like, let's not forget that. Like, because I remember, who was it? I think Justin Tuck or something like that, some D lineman or something like that got hurt like in a basketball thing, and they were like, no, we'll take care of you. You were training for basketball, or you were using basketball as a training mechanism, and it didn't happen here, but we'll still keep you under contract, act like you were here training. Because to me, honestly, like, I get it if you were driving a moped in Mexico, you know, boozing, or bungee jumping in Aruba, right? If you were doing something extreme, get hurt on a jet ski or riding a three-wheeler, for Christ's sakes, you know, I get it, right? You know, you were reckless, you're stupid, but you were training on your own because you feel that you get the best with your trainer, and your trainer knows you, and you're back in your home city, you know, you're chilling. And so I don't feel like you should get punished for that, but I mean, it is in the rules, and it's like, you know, if you're in a contract and team workouts start, that's why you go work out with the team, is because if you get hurt there, you're covered. So I mean, it's a matter of side of service, right? Like if he was training there, he'd be fine. It wouldn't be an issue. It's like, you get hurt and then they rehab you. So I think Denver will do the right thing, because if you don't, man, you can really divide a locker room before the season even starts with that, because I mean, everyone knows the rules, but you set that precedent. And then everyone else on the team is like, damn, man, these cats are ruthless. You know, what would they do to me? And so it just builds that distrust within the team, within the locker room.
It seems like there ought to be some way to mutually agree upon, hey, I'm going to work out on my own during the offseason. Even if I go to OTAs, I'm still going to work out on my own some, right? Like that you don't just like sit around and eat bonbons all day, you know, when you're not at OTAs, right? But like, it seems like they ought to be able to work out a deal where, okay, I'm going to work out on my own. I'm going to give the club a little bit of input or at least like, you know, communication on this is what I'm doing. This is what my off season training program is. They sign off on it. Then as long as if I injure myself during doing a workout program that they've signed off on, then they'll support me. Couldn't they work out something like that?
You know, they really could say, you know, I have disagreements with our strength coach. I like my person better. I trust them. I will come for OTAs. And there's been, you know, the PA has put that together just by saying, you've got to come work out the facility. You know, there's no telling what you're doing, you know, that they've monitored it. But I would be curious if he had workout incentives in his contract. Because a lot of guys, I remember guys used to skip, you know, significant sums, you know, and upwards, you know, $250,000 of workout bonuses because they like their own person better. You know, and, you know, like, you know, I saw that Russell Wilson spends $1 million a year on his chefs, you know, to make him food. And, you know, all these guys have their own little secret sauce that they use that they just trust better. So guys willingly walk away from a lot of money because of missed workout bonuses that they just don't care about because they trust something else better.
But so, I mean, you make a good point though about, you know, the Broncos, it's up to them.
Yeah.
Business wise, obviously it would help them to not pay him the $10 million. But yeah. Like if you're on that team, how would you react to that if you were in that locker room?
So if I was in that locker room, I'd be like, damn, man, he knew what the consequences were. And then, you know, like I said, like he wasn't doing something stupid. So the Broncos can always be like, hey, yeah, we'll take care of you. You know, so there's choices, you know, there's choices and there's repercussions. And he knew that. And it was a risk. But no one ever thinks, you know, you're going to blow out an Achilles or, you know, hurt your knee, you know, so... So I, if I was in that locker room, I'd be like, damn, dude, you know, that sucks. That really sucks. And then now you're like, okay, Broncos, you know, what are you going to do? How are you going to make this right? Are you going to keep him on or are you going to, like, not pay him and then be like, okay, he's going to be disgruntled and not even show up, right? Kind of treat you like a piece of meat. So not a good position to be in Denver because technically they don't got to pay him jack squat, but they should do the right thing and pay him. Or figure out something that's manageable. Get him on that Bobby Bonilla contract or something like that.
Well, that's a good one. And pay him for the rest of his living years.
Yes.
Nick Leckie is our guest. Right, Nick, the Chiefs have totally remade this offensive line, and they have a good mix of youth and of veterans. And I think we all agree that Orlando Brown Jr. is going to be the left tackle. Joe Tooney is going to be the left guard. Then you have some battles. You got Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma, who will battle Austin Blythe at center, at the other guard spot. You've got the opportunity for LDT to come back. They signed Kyle Long out of retirement. And then, boy, this kid in the sixth round they took from Tennessee, everyone loves him and thinks that he could have been a second or third round pick if not for the health problems, so he's in the mix. And then at right tackle, Lucas Niang, who opted out last year, Mike Remmers they brought back, and Kyle Long could also compete at right tackle. So there's a lot of names there, a lot of good competition. What do you think of what they've put together and how this is going to play out between now and the regular season?
So if you look at it, like you got, you know, Brown, Tooney, Creed Humphrey at center, right guard or right tackle, you know, could be Trey Smith or, you know, Kyle Long, depending on how they do it with Remmers competing to a right tackle spot. And then you got some depth with Niang. You know, I don't know how – I haven't seen his film in a while. I'm sure his hip has recovered from last year and sitting a year out. That they have – it's unprecedented. And Chiefs fans, you know, take note. You cannot come to Kansas City and live out your old age blissfully, and they're constantly in a win mode, in a win now mode. I mean, they just obliterate their entire offensive line from last year. You don't even have one starter. I mean, you know, you could have one starter coming back, one or two, but the way it plays out on paper, you got an entirely new offensive line. And to boot, I would argue top 10, top 5, you know, depending on how you know, Creed and Kyle and the right side look. Because, you know, Tooney and Orlando Brown, their highlights are dessert. It's their dessert to watch. I mean, they just play the game so well, and Zeus is so dominant. Zeus Jr. is so dominant. It's just fun to watch that film. Like, it's like when you used to be able to create your own player in Madden. and it was like 6'10", 500 pounds, and strength was 99, speed of 99. It's just unreal. And it's just so pretty to watch, and the competitions are going to be fierce, and you got a great O-line coach, and it's, yeah, they really set themselves up to sort of, you know, maybe we're going to run the ball a little bit more. You know, maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to get some more touches. You know, maybe we'll commit to the running game a little bit more with this offensive line. You know, maybe Pat will have, you know, 50 seconds to throw it every time. Yeah, the world opens up when you have a great offensive line like this, if it pans out.
Okay, so what you obviously are a fan of Orlando Brown Jr., the way you just described him. What do you say to people that say he's not proven as a left tackle and that...
Well, put a name on it. Who said it?
Well, Jeff Chedid said he could be as bad as Mike Remmers at left tackle. We don't know yet. He said he's that much of a question mark. So,
What film are they watching? I would love to see the film that they watched. I watched the snaps with Baltimore, and he is not your typical 6'8", 350 guy. You know, you look at a guy who's even remotely similar in size, and it's Bryant McKinney. And Bryant McKinney was a dominant left tackle for years, but had a tendency to not finish plays, not be aggressive. And Orlando Brown moves in space. Baltimore had a hell of a counter game, a quarterback counter game, where they asked Orlando Brown to pull behind the left guard. So they're running like a choo-choo train through that right side. And he's coming through. He's active. He's picking up blocks in second level. He's getting on guys. He's road grading. It's stupid. Like, he's literally, it's like me playing on my son's flag football team versus a bunch of, like, fifth graders, man.
That wouldn't be fair, Nick.
Yeah. I love Jeffrey, but what film is he watching? Honestly.
He's watching film that suggests he should do whatever he can to irritate me and Chiefs fans when he comes in here sometimes.
So tell us about Lilja.
Right.
Yeah, I texted Lilja. I go, bro, have you watched this film? It is stupid good. Like, and he's like, dude, it's unreal. Like, I mean, you know, we were guys who had to fight, scrap, and hang on for dear life sometimes. And this dude is just picking up these guys like he's picking up cones off the street. Like, just, hey, you can't come here. You got to stay over here. And it was like his lockdown. He was locking cats down. He's extending his arms. He's attacking. He's cleaning up. Oh, my gosh. Jeffrey, what are you doing?
Okay, listen, here we go. We're gonna do this, okay, because Jeff's going to be on tomorrow.
I need some Marlboro.
Wow. I'm going to pretend I'm going to ask you this, but I want you to respond to Jeff, and we'll play this for him tomorrow. And tell me if I'm wrong, this is what Jeff said. His final summary of this was, he said he thinks that Orlando Brown Jr. will be a below-average left tackle and the Chiefs will not sign him to an extension. That's what his final...
That was his prediction.
That was the final answer. How do you respond to that?
What is the basis of that? What film work were you watching? You know, what games were you watching to show you that? Is there something that I wasn't seeing? I mean, because, like, does he get lazy on plays? Does he not follow through? Does he only play parts of the games? I mean, it's just one of those things where I'd just be curious to see. And I'm going to have to do a deep dive now on my, what is that, NFL Game Pass? Or what's the one you can watch games? Yeah, Game Pass? Red Zone? Something. I don't know what that's called anymore.
I want you to make a declaration then. What type of left tackle do you think he'll be for the Chiefs? And do you think, because we all just assume they're going to sign him long term, I think, especially they traded for him. So what do you think the end result is going to be for Orlando Brown in Kansas City?
And he's going to be an All-Pro this year, next year.
All-Pro?
Tooney as well. All-Pro.
Okay.
All-Pro. He stays healthy. All-Pro. Because playing next to Tooney, at left guard, I mean, gosh, man, you go out there and flourish. I mean, that's huge. That's huge. That kind of assistance and having Mahomes at quarterback, gosh, dynamic offense, it sets up so well.
And you absolutely think they should sign him long-term?
Depending on how this goes, absolutely. I mean, you got to pay to play, but what I've seen on film, geez, it's amazing.
So
it's amazing. But okay, you might be seeing something different.
Well,
I'm curious what that is.
I don't want to speak for Jeff too much, but I don't think he's necessarily been basing it off of film study. I think he's basing it off of the unknown. And here's a couple of aspects to that. Number one, I'm really intrigued about what you said about him moving in space, because we did see, like, remember that amazing play that they ran in the playoffs where Eric Fisher ends up pulling and on the little reverse counter that they did, and he's 30 yards downfield blocking people. I'm picturing Orlando Brown Jr. doing that, and that's incredible. But the flip side, I think what Chidea might have been saying was, we didn't get a chance to watch him much at left tackle, and when we did, he was blocking for a completely different set of offensive principles, a run-first team with a quarterback who you almost wanted to stay back in the pocket because he wasn't as dangerous as the pocket as he was as a rusher. So we don't really have any reference to know if he can drop into a pass block and protect the blind side of a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. Does that make sense? I mean, Nick, in terms of like, we just haven't had a chance to see him do it yet. And if he was so good at it, why didn't the Ravens want to let him stay there? And by the way, Nick, I'm trying to articulate somebody else's point here.
Listen. I love Jeffrey Chidea is smarter than I'll ever be. I mean, I love listening to him. He knows his stuff. I respect him forever. But the notion that because your quarterback is mobile and bails you out and you're running the ball so much, the notion to say you can't pass protect because you're in that system, or you can't. That's like saying you don't know how to turn on your microphone, or you don't know how to work a chair, or how to tweet, or basic stuff that you do on an everyday basis because now you're working for 810, but it's 810 TV, right? It doesn't, skills translate, and sure, a dynamic quarterback can bail you out if you're getting beat a lot. But this dude's dominant. And this dude is active. And it just, oh my gosh. He's got so much power. But no, he can do that. Because Mahomes isn't as quick as Lamar. But Mahomes can scramble. Like, don't get it twisted, man. You saw in the Super Bowl what he can do scrambling-wise on a banged-up turf toe with an offensive line that was only had one starter and four backups. I mean, you saw he could scramble when need to, and he can mix it up. So, no, man, his skills translate. He's got – you watch his pass pro, and he does well. And, you know, Lamar's not as bad as Deshaun for holding the ball, but Lamar has a tendency to hold the ball as well, too.
And something else Mahomes can do, he could throw a football through a tire from 5 yards away.
Yeah, exactly. Well, here's the thing, too, that I was thinking about is, like, you know who drafts really well, and I've always respected their homegrown talent and creates cultures? Pittsburgh and Baltimore. So you give a team like that multiple, you know, first-rounders and four or five picks for a guy who maybe they don't want to bust their cap anymore. Maybe they'll be like, you know what, we hate to do this, but man, we'll take four draft picks, and we'll give up a guy who's, you know, we don't want to have to pay next year anyways. So yeah, we'll take some draft picks because, you know, they trust their draft process. You know, they'll draft another one, just like they do, just like Pittsburgh, just like Baltimore. Man, they draft. They have great homegrown talent. They really do, really, really do. So that's why they trust the process. That's why they let him go. It's too good of an opportunity.
And look, that's right. It from their vantage point, they're doing the right thing, and from the way that the Chiefs look at it, it's a no-brainer. You get Orlando Brown instead of, you want to talk about the unknown of drafting a left tackle at 31 and telling him, hey, protect our quarterback, protect the best quarterback in the world. And also the other aspect of that trade, and like I told you, and maybe I'm the one that's crazy, if they would have traded the number 31 pick and a fourth-round pick just for Orlando Brown, that was it, I'd have been happy with the deal. But they got back the second-round pick. So guess who you have to add in this deal? They got Orlando Brown and Nick Bolton in that deal.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they really did. I know you're happy about the Nick Bolton.
I am. Real happy.
And the last thing, too, is you look at from a profile, what the Chiefs, Andy Heck, and Andy Reid have been doing also is they're not liking bringing in rookies to play O-line. You know, they like vets. They like vets on their O-line, you know, whether it's, you know, second or third year guy, you know, they'll develop them, right? You know, they developed, you know, Rodney and Mitch. But they want vets at the tackle spot. And when you got a guy like Mahomes, you need a vet. You don't have time to spend on, you know, Eric Fisher and grooming him for 3 years and going through those trials and tribulation while he figures it out. So they want now. And so, like I said, it works out well for everybody. That's why they're able to let him go. As you know, the philosophies of the Chiefs and the philosophies of Baltimore meshed up well. Baltimore loves draft picks. They draft well. And the Chiefs love proven veteran offensive linemen.
So who ends up – so you said Orlando Brown left tackle, then Joe Tooney, and then you think Creed Humphrey wins the center spot?
Yeah. I watched that. I watched Oklahoma play Florida in the, I know it was the Cotton Bowl. And I know bowl games now are kind of junky because, you know, some players opt out if it's not the playoffs. But I always like Florida. They'll always draft. Or they always put out NFL prospects, and they've got great defensive lines. And he played so well. And for a left-handed center who has no glove, which is still trips me out, by the way, and it's going to get weird seeing that this year, he just does so many great things, too. He does play center field well and just blocks. Oh, it's a thing of beauty.
You like the fact that he could snap with either hand?
Yeah, no, he's left-handed. Left-handed.
But they said he could snap with the
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Only guy I've ever seen do that was Kevin Mawai when he broke his right hand and he snapped with his left hand. It was amazing.
Okay, so there's three of the five. Right now, be bold, declare the winners of the battle for right guard and right tackle.
It just depends. You know, I think I'm going with, you know, see how Kyle Long is back, right? Back or hamstrings, whatever it was, he retired. And then you know, Niang, or is it Trey Smith? Is that his name, the rookie,
yep.
The six-rounder?
Yep.
And you got Remmers.
Or Trey Smith. And Remmers. I mean, gosh, I mean, Remmers starts out starting and see how well he plays. And then, you know, Niang, Long, and Smith, you know, are the guys who are going to be battling for you know, that all four of those could play that right guard, right tackle really well. But, yeah, you always give it to the vet, the guy who did it last year, and then go from there, you know, while they learn the playbook.
I'm picturing one of those combination locks where you have, like, the five different numbers, right, you know, that are on the circular spin, and you can line them all up, or they could be letters that you line up to. Because, like, there's so many different combinations you can go with, and that's what I like about Andy Reid always does this with his offensive line. It seems like he's done it again. You're talking about a whole bunch of guys that can play two to three different positions on the offensive line. So One piece moves, and then all of a sudden that changes two other pieces to the combination, right? Like that's and that's good because if a guy gets hurt, you feel like there's a lot of options at different places.
Yes, no, you really do. It's fantastic to have that depth and quality depth too. There's some teams who will skimp on that aspect, and their backups aren't that great. And then you're just hoping that the you know, they never have to get played, you know, taking that risk. But the Chiefs are like, nope, not this year. We learned from last year. You know, we're going to back this up. We are.
I'd finally give you a letter grade to the Kansas football hire, please.
I haven't seen that yet. Did they go with the guy from Buffalo?
Yeah.
Is that what they did?
Give us the grade.
Okay. What did we talk about? What did we talk about last time? I'm disappointed as a K-State fan, but I'm happy for KU fans, for all my KU buddies, because I think that's a smart hire. Oh. I do. You know, a guy who's proved himself at Buffalo. Was he the guy who, like, has been winning for, like, 8 years or 9 years or something like that, had some good records? Yep. What was the one we went through was that the guy we went through?
Yeah, and he won a bunch of national titles at Wisconsin Whitewater and then went to Buffalo, and he's been there for several years.
But I like the fact that you said you're disappointed that they made a smart hire.
Yeah.
I am. I am. I mean, honestly, I mean, that Les Miles hire, when they did that, I was like, what? Why? I'm like, why would they do that? But then I'm like, thank you, KU, for humbling that one.
You know it's a bad hire when your rivals are excited about it. You know, that's and unfortunately, there's been a lot of those moves made at Kansas lately.
So you're enthused
this was a little different.
By what Nick just said.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm incredibly happy about it. Yeah, it's just like when they fired Mangino. I remember talking to Stan Weber, and he's like, well, as a K-State fan, I hope they fire Mangino.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's exactly like right. That tells you all you need to know right there.
That's right.
So
yeah, it is. But yeah, So it'll be a good hire, and I hope you can get KU back. I mean, I think KU surprisingly always is able to get really good talent. Whoever they got recruiting, you always get this great talent. I'm like, how the hell do they still get good talent? But Lawrence is a fun city. It's a cool college.
That's
town.
That's right, Nick.
You know, it
keep
is.
Going.
I used to go there and drink some beers over there. after victories on Saturday, and it was a good time.
Yeah, a little easier for you to go enjoy a beer after those games, right?
I never played the second half. I never played the fourth quarter versus KU.
Yeah, you get to set the fourth quarter. You were probably at the bar during the fourth quarter, right? Is that how that went?
Fine. Mentally, I was there. Mentally, right. I was at the hawk or the wheel, right?
Exactly.
I was just hanging out.
Thank you, Nick. Enjoy Topeka, please.
I will. Thanks, Jen.
It's Nick Leckie. Topeka, Nick Leckie is inside you, so please take care of him.
But you heard him say there, Lawrence, great town, fun town.
Sure.
Good college.
What's wrong with
campus.
That?
He's right about all those things.
You know?
I'll say the same for Manhattan. Manhattan's a fun town. Good college town.
You love it all, don't you?
I do.
That's right.
I do.
We'll be back after this.
A lot of fun in Manhattan over the years.
I bet you have. No fun in Wichita, though.
Nope.
Got your heart dragged through the streets out there. Back after this on WHB.